You're listening to B2B Nation, a podcast from Technology Advice designed to help marketers navigate the modern B2B buyer's journey. Here's your host, Mike Pastore.
Product-led growth, or PLG as it's become known, is one of the B2B marketing strategies getting the most attention these days. But for some marketers, getting your product into the hands of your target market and letting them use and ultimately help sell the product is nothing new.
In the end of the day, I think most of developer and developer organization are very willing to pay. I think dev community in general are really willing to pay for a product that gives them value. So just you want to promote it, and if they, you don't want to sell it to them, just let them experience and they'll come to you and even contribute to your product once they understand the value and experience the value you're bringing to them.
That's Roy Krieger, CEO and co-founder of Metis, a database observability tool that's used by developers and DevOps teams. Marketing to developers has always been about the product, not the marketing, because marketers who try to sell their wares to developers typically don't get very far. On this episode of the B2B Nation podcast, we're diving into what works and what doesn't work when you're marketing to developers with Roy. Welcome to B2B Nation. Roy Krieger, welcome to B2B Nation. Why don't you take a minute and tell us who you are and what you do?
Hey, Mike, nice to be here. Yeah, sure, would love to. So basically, my name is Roy. I'm based in Israel, and I'm the CEO of a startup called Metis, where we try to help DevOps and engineering team own their database, have better experience around everything related to their database.
So I am in the business of marketing to marketers, which can be a challenge, but you and your team face a significant challenge with your target market, developers and engineers.
Yeah.
Developers, they don't like to be sold to. They like to try things before they buy them. What other challenges do developers present to the way that you guys market your business?
So I think if we're talking about generally in these days, since the notion of shift left and everything happened, where developer is basically the focus of everything, I think the biggest challenge is developers are overwhelmed and generally with tools. You have so many tools around developers, and many companies are dev first, like Metis. So I think first and foremost, the biggest challenge is how you differentiate yourself from the crowd, from the noise, if you will. So I think that's first and foremost. And in general is, I think, how do you nail it or meet the developers where they at versus trying to bring developers to you? I think the tool that really nails it, developer experience and developer willingness to adopt, is first you have to solve a major problem. And second of all, you have to meet the developers where they at and not trying to shift developer towards you. So yeah, those are the two main things I would argue are the two most important things.
And how does the go-to-market strategy that your team has put in place help you overcome some of those challenges of marketing to the developers?
So I think from marketing perspective, I'm coming, my background is a bit top-down B2B startup back in the days. I think few things that has changed. When you're trying to go dev first in today's PLG motion, you want to focus, and it would be, I don't know if it's I'm saying anything new, but the one thing we invest heavily is the self-service experience. And when you're trying to do self-service, people don't really get it many times, is invest heavily in your documentation. If there is one thing I would argue is the most important thing when you're trying to develop developer tools or developer-centric tool, is to have the best documentation ever. That's the one thing we're trying to invest heavily on. We're not doing it yet as expected, I think, but we're trying to get there.
Yeah, it's a self-service on-demand world, and
yeah, I you know, I think that it's we are in the world where whatever counts, except from security, and this is also changing. It's all about the end user, right? You don't anymore sell to executive. I would argue it happens already in different domains as well, not only developer where it started, but the notion where you sell to the end user and, you know, you're trying to make the end user happy versus the executive. And this is in turn promotes like the upsell once you get some kind of adoption within a company. That's the right play. Otherwise, the churn will kill you, especially with margins in SaaS and dev tools and customer acquisition costs. So you want to make sure the end users are happy and using. Otherwise, you might get like an acquisition one time, but then the year follows or whatever, you won't be able to preserve your customers. Yeah. Do an upsell. Yes.
It's a conversation we've had on the podcast before where people have talked about how some of the legacy vendors, because they're so beholden to the traditional sales team, sales executive model, the sales team has a lot of power traditionally in the organization. And as things have shifted, you mentioned product-led growth, they get left behind because they're not able to adapt to that on-demand self-service model.
I totally agree. By the way, like, this is my honest opinion that in the end of the day, PLG motion only helps you and drives your top-down motion once you get to the enterprise level. It's not that the top-down motion is gone, but I think what fuels the top-down motion and makes the customer acquisition cost way lower if you nail the PLG motion right is that, like, if you nail the PLG motion right, it in turn makes the, you know, selling aspect of the product much easier.
One of the things I noticed on your website, where a lot of vendors have all the familiar social media icons, LinkedIn, Twitter, X, YouTube, you guys display Discord and GitHub. You mentioned this kind of earlier, going where the developers are at. So what else do you guys do to help find developers in what you might think of as their natural habitat?
Yeah, so basically, like I mentioned, in terms of like where we're trying to meet the in terms of the product, right? To meet the developer where they at in terms of like their SDLC, the software development lifecycle, and how the DevOps processes go, same apply to our go-to-market motion. So basically, you have all these developer communities, right? You have Reddit, and you have GitHub, and you have Hacker News and Hacker Noon and all those platforms. So basically, we try to build our own community, but we also very reliant on established communities where developers already loves to hang out. And the way we try to engage with developers, like I think that the right word would be empower developers. Basically, we're trying to give them our knowledge to be very, should I say, honest and be very transparent and be very mindful of their needs and try to empower them with whatever we can do for the developer community. For us, our specialty is databases. So basically helping developer overcome challenges within like everything related to databases and not thinking about how to monetize it, just to contribute. And that in turn, hopefully will put us as some kind of authority and developers will come to us and, you know, ask us questions and we can empower them within their organization and in turns like maybe have them adopt Metis eventually, because in the end of the day, we are not a pro bono, but our entire effort is honestly helping developers and empowering developers because we are developers ourselves.
Yeah. For years, I heard marketers who were trying to sell to developers, it was get the product in their hands, get them using it, get them creating, building, whatever they were using it for. And then eventually good things would happen. It was sort of product-led growth before the term really got popularized.
Yeah, it was like bottom up, PLG, then now you have PLS and all those buzzwords, right? But in the end of the day, it's all about like perceived value versus like experiencing value. You just want to give first value, try before you buy. Just go ahead and use us. If you see value, you come to us, because in the end of the day, I think most of developer and developer organization are very like willing to pay. I think dev community in general are really willing to pay for a product that gives them value. So just, you want to promote it, and if they, you don't want to sell it to them, just like let them experience and they'll come to you and even contribute to your product once you understand the value and experience the value you're bringing to them.
Do you think developers are more likely, when I think about that last part of what you said, their contribution like back to your product? I feel like vendors who are in like the hardware or software business, I mean, you're always going to listen to your customers if you're doing this right about feature requests, and it'd be great if your tool could do this or that. But I think developers are more likely to do that than other audiences.
100%. Like usually, like, I don't know, like how many companies today, but from my experience, right, it used to be like, can you tell me what can I improve in my product? Are you using this feature more? Why? It would be like very pull motion, right? Where you try to engage with your current existing customer base. Sometimes you'd reach out for, I don't know, surveys or whatnot. But with developer, when they really have a motion with your product, they will come to you and say, hey, this can be better. You know, I even wrote an integration to your product to our existing needs. Hey, go ahead and use it. Like it would be more of a push motion if you nail it right. That's what it means, like community, right? So it's a different way of like getting feedback versus like being pushed the feedback. And I think that's amazing when developers feel passionate about it. They will come to you and help you improve your product.
The question we ask just about everybody who appears on B2B Nation, what is your favorite tool? And we put some rules in place here. You can't say a tool that you're marketing, so you can't say Metis. You can't say your phone unless you cite a specific app. But what is a tool that you can't work or live without?
So I would say that in my day job, meaning like at Metis, basically my go-to tool is Slack. Basically, it helps me be on top of everything happens in my company and with our customers in general. But maybe I would say my day-to-day or my post or my evening or my personal life, it would be, I would guess, like my squash racket. I'm an avid squash player. So even if I go abroad, many times I'm taking, and I see that there is like a cool club, I'll take my squash racket with me. I'm very attached to it.
Okay. How many slacks did you get while we were recording?
So I don't know. I need to check out, because like I usually, like when I'm taking a meeting, turning off my notification. But I see here I have at least like 15 or 16 Slack the past 15-16 minutes. Not everything is direct message though, so I need to see what messages is relevant to me or not.
Roy Krieger from Metis, thanks for joining us on B2B Nation.
Appreciate it, Mike. I was happy to be here. Yeah.
Thanks again to Roy Krieger for joining us on the B2B Nation podcast, and thanks too to Jacob Rainey of the Technology Advice team. If you found this episode insightful or useful, subscribe to B2B Nation on Apple, Google, or Spotify. Mnemonics and the Guild wrote our theme song. We'll catch you next time on B2B Nation.